vaccination forms, do they really work? Well, let me just tell you a little bit about Kaiser in Southern California. We have roughly 3.3 million members and 40,000 births per year. We serve them at 11 hospital medical centers and over 100 outpatient clinic buildings, a lot of clinics in each building. And there's over 3,000 providers, and by providers I mean mainly physicians and nurse practitioners. So we decided we weren't happy with our flu status, our annual flu immunization rates prior to 1997. Now this is going back a bit, but prior to 1997 we're 30 to 35%. And we had all the things that Beverly was talking about. We've got these flu clinics that are massive clinics for 3 to 4 weeks. Some of our centers have drive-through clinics. We have a flu cart which goes around to the various clinics trying to pick up on staff immunizations. It also travels through the hospital on all shifts. And we had monetary and other incentives, which I'll talk about in a moment, to try to increase this. In 1997-98, the medical director for Southern California Permanente decided to include a memo with the paychecks. Can't do that anymore because the paychecks are now electronic or sent to the home, so that took care of that. But now, in 1998, it was possible. And this was a voluntary thing. We had no state law, nothing saying you must have a declination form. Anyway, our then medical director decided he was going to try this. So we had this memo. And anyone who was vaccinated was eligible to win incentives in weekly drawings. And they ranged from $10 and $20 gift certificates from places like Target and other stores to the grand prize, which is a cruise for two from Hawaii. Well, the details were this memo was in the paycheck. And it not only said, please get vaccinated, it gave the reasons for being vaccinated in order to protect themselves, their families, and their patients. The form had to be signed when you got the shot, or a reason for declining had to be indicated, and it was a checkbox, and I'll show the results in a moment. These forms were turned into the employee's department manager, and these department managers had to follow up and try to collect them all. So a lot of the responsibility for this rested on the department manager. And although I'm responsible for a medical center and 5 outlying offices, I'm technically located, my office is sitting in the pediatrics department, even though I'm an all-ages immunization coordinator. So I was on the list for pediatrics, and I would go down and look, and sure enough, she was keeping track and making sure who turned theirs in. There were no sanctions, though. If you didn't use the form, no one came after you with a big stick. By November 20th, at one medical center, this happened to be mine, 60% of all employees had turned in the forms. Now this was, you know, with flu clinics starting at about October, by November 20th, 60% of our employees in my medical center had turned in the forms. And of those 60%, 83% were vaccinated, 16% refused. And if we look at the total vaccinations of everyone in, attached to that medical center, excluding patients, 50% of all employees had been vaccinated. Now, the reasons for not wanting to get the shot, they look familiar, I'm sure, to all of you. I'm afraid I'll get sick from the shot. Had it before, didn't work, afraid of needles, allergic to eggs. One MD was very interesting, and I was out at one of our outlying clinics, and he said to me, I'm not recommending this to my patients at all. In fact, I'm suggesting they not have it because it's a live vaccine, and I don't believe in live vaccines. I said, but it's not a live vaccine. And of course, I may be a doctor of public health, but this MD wasn't about to take that from a DRPH, right? So I said, let's go over to your computer. And I logged him onto CDC, and there was it was right in front of him. And he changed the story immediately. Now, why no one had gotten to him, the doctors have meetings every Friday for CMEs and all of that stuff, and they have presentations. Maybe he missed it, but he seriously thought it was a live vaccine. And that was his reason. And then the last three are the usual. I'm healthy, I eat well, I don't need it. Okay. So at the end of that particular flu season, Southern California Permanente had almost 40,000 employees, of which only 49.5% turned in their forms. In other words, it was roughly 50-50. Of the ones who turned in the forms, 85% again were vaccinated. Some declined. And what troubled me was that these 19,000 people never turned in the forms. And so the overall employee immunization or vaccination rate was still only 43.6%. No one followed up. The intervening years occurred. Between 98 and 2007, we monitored. I'm on the Regional Flu Task Force. We monitored the vaccination rates, and it ranged between 40 and 50%. We tried to change. We had all these marvelous incentives I was telling him about, like including the trip to Hawaii. Well, Northern California didn't have them. And Northern California's rates were no worse than ours. So guess what happened? They took the incentives away from us. So if Northern California does as well as you do with no incentives, you don't need the incentives. So the incentives went bye-bye. Okay. Came 2007. And Senate Bill 739, Infection Control, became law which amended the California State Health and Safety Code. And there were two things in that having to do with flu vaccine that I want to relate to you today. First of all acute care hospital employees have to be offered free flu vaccine. Well, Kaiser had done that anyway. By the way, vaccines in Southern California, Kaiser, are free, period. No matter what copay you have for anything else, vaccines are always free to everyone, not only employees. And then there's this phrase, each acute care hospital shall require its employees to be vaccinated, or if the employee selects not to be vaccinated, to declare in writing that he or she has declined the vaccination, unquote. Okay, now actually this doesn't take effect, all of this act. It takes effect some last year, some this year, and some next year, but the point is that was what was in the act. So now how did Kaiser react? Southern and Northern California Kaiser Permanente turned around and mandated flu vaccination for all their employees. But not quite like your previous speaker did. They mandated either the vaccination or the declination form for all employees. So, here we go. The declination form was to be turned in if not taking the vaccination. Employee Health Department did the tracking. They used Kaiser's immunization register, which many of you have heard me speak about before, so I won't go into details. We now have close to 40 million shots in this particular registry. And they also track the declination forms. There were no monetary incentives, no prizes, but there was an employment incentive. If you didn't have the shot or turn in the declination form by the end of January, you were suspended from work till you did so. Some of us had real high hopes for this. We also offered FluMist for the first time. Northern California had offered it the year before, and we hadn't for various reasons. But this year, we did offer the nasal FluMist for the first time, and our uptake was very small, as you'll see in a few moments. We had on the form, the actual declination form, had these three items. I don't believe it'll work. I'm concerned about the side effects. I'm afraid of injections and other. And if you said other, you were supposed to write out what the other was. The very last paragraph on the declination form stated that the person understood that he's required to complete and sign this form as a condition of employment, not get the shot as a completion of employment. We, by the way, had an enormous, enormous amount of difficulty in trying to make the vaccination required, and the difficulty was in the nurses' union in particular. We haven't managed to get over that problem yet, even though I keep hoping. So here's the examples of flu shot acceptance by different employee groups at two medical center complexes. I just want you to look at the very first column, which is physicians, the middle column, which is employees, and the right-hand side, which is volunteer. The light blue is people who did not do either, okay? Ignore the all light blue one, that was a group of students and that was later taken care of. But the darker blue is the people who actually had the vaccine, and the tiny, tiny little purple one is the FluMist. And you'll see more about that later. But if you look at the first column, which is the physicians, and the middle column, which is the employees, the right column, which is the volunteers, I just want you to get a picture of that. This is a lower income demographic area. This one was a higher demographic area. Be careful, there's more columns. But again, you have the physicians on the left, the employees is the third one over, and then the volunteers is the one way on the right. What you'll see is that in the higher demographic area, almost 90% of the physicians, it was 87% of the physicians had taken the actual vaccine. I'll go back to the previous slide, 75% in the lower demographic area. I can't quite understand why the physicians seem to be influenced by this, but they seem to have been. If you look at the employees, less than 70% in the higher income demographic area, but less than 60% in the lower demographic area. And then go look at the extreme right hand, the volunteers. The volunteers in these medical centers are people who live in that area and come to volunteer there. Look at the lower demographic area at 40% and the higher one at about 90%. And this is something that we deal with when you look at a medical center, depending upon the demographics of its members. The way they have to be dealt with differently with different health education and so on and so forth. So I just thought you'd find that interesting. On January 15th, emails were sent to all department managers listing the employees by name who had not either had the shot or turned in the declination form. They were notified by their department managers that they would shortly be put on leave. There was an immediate response. Some of them said, hey, I had the shot. Here's my proof. I got it elsewhere. Great. We put it in the system and they were off the hook. Some said, I had the shot, but I can't prove it. Now, you and I can guess whether they had the shot or not. But the point is, they either had the choice of getting the shot on the spot, and they didn't. I had it. I don't want it again. So they were told to sign a declination form. So our total number of declinations may not be accurate. Some of these people may actually have had a shot and just couldn't prove it. I know I was asked a number of times to go and check in not only kits, but our new electronic medical record. And I checked probably about 200 of them. And I did find two where they'd entered it in the electronic chart, had forgotten to put it in kits, and it doesn't feed into the systems it's supposed to. So I fixed that. So there would have been a very small amount that happened to. And then the ones who said they don't want it, they had to sign the declination form. So as of January 31, what we have here is, if you look at the dark blue area first, 63.68% had taken the flu injection. And if you added then the flu mist, it went to 63.95%. So the difference, it was less than 1% difference if we offered the nasal vaccine. Now, maybe that's because it was the first year. I don't know. We'll see about that. And the really light bluish, white, grayish area, that's to your left at the bottom, which says 97.41, that's including the declination forms. So I cannot say that we did extremely well, but here's the comparison of the types of declination forms. Prior to 1998, there were no forms, and we vaccinated 30% to 40%. In 1998, we had the voluntary form. We went to 43.6%. Between 98 and 2006, it ranged depending on the year. And then we had all those problems with the shortages for 2 years. And some of the docs were saying, I'm not taking the shot. I want my patient to have it. Yeah, but we want you to be protected so you're here to treat the patient when they get sick, the usual. Anyway, it ranged between 40 and 50%. In 2007, we had the state-mandated form, and we still only reached about 64%, which to me is still not adequate. I don't know what the answer is except to keep at it and to do more education and to deal with the nurses' union a bit more. I certainly would like to thank all the dedicated immunization coordinators, physicians, and staff who do work tirelessly to implement vaccine policies in order to protect our members, because quality patient care to us means keeping our members healthy. Thank you.
Thank you.